By God's help, we're going to share some thoughts on fixed faith. And we surely need the blessings of the Lord to be upon us. And would you join us as we ask for God's help? Our eternal Father, thank you for the faith that we have in you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless the thoughts is expressed here, that it will be a blessing and a benefit, and that it won't just be short-term, but it'll be long-term benefits from the blessings of being in this service today. We ask for the Holy Spirit to make a visitation to every heart, and you to back every word. We need you. And we ask, Father, these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You, the hymnal this morning, would you turn to page 106? We're going to read this song. I know on whom my faith is fixed. I know in whom I trust. I know that Christ abides in me, and all his ways are just. Let scoffers scoff, let scorners sneer. My heart is full of peace. They cannot take the joy I feel, nor make my hope to cease. They cannot quench the fire of love that burns within my breast, nor break that tender fellowship that makes my life so blessed. They cannot bring again the sins the blood has washed away, nor make my heart like stone once more, nor turn my night to day. I know God is. I know his word unfailing meets each test. I calmly face a hostile world with soul and mind at rest. I know on whom my faith is fixed. His mercy has set me free. I know that he will safely keep, and his love is sweet to me. This is a song of confidence. In whom his faith is put, and his faith is put in God. And he feels so strongly about this faith that it mentions different things. Scoffers can't bring the sins again. And his word will meet each test. And he calmly would face a hostile world with soul and mind at rest. And so there was a confidence that Brother Naylor had in whom he put his faith in, and how it would work. And so he had a fixed faith. And it is important for every person that is serious about going to heaven and pleasing God that they have their faith fixed in God. There is a scripture that backs that up. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why is it? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the old devil knows that it is impossible to please God without faith. And so he's out to maybe kind of chip away at your faith, weaken it. He's out to do that in different ways to different individuals. One Sister Rich, Brother Brian and Sister Sherry Rich's granddaughter is a student at West Point. She attends West Point. She had a professor to proclaim that creation was a bucket of spit. Well, she doesn't go along with that. But the other students, I don't know how much influence that, and it is a very inappropriate thing for a teacher to stand before students and make such a declaration. But the enemy is out to destroy students. He's out to destroy people's faith that has at one time had very strong faith. He's out in any means and ways that he can to destroy faith. There is a scripture in John, the 10th chapter, and it says that the enemy comes as a thief. John, we can get it here. Well, anyway, it says he comes as a thief to kill, steal, and destroy. Somebody get, well, we're getting close to it here. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the enemy is the thief, and he's out to destroy faith. We'll have a little This is supposed to represent an airplane, if you have to use your imagination. Say a couple's been on their honeymoon in Hawaii. Time comes, they take their flight, and there's a lot of water between Hawaii and the United States, isn't there? Hawaii is part of the United States, but they're separated by water. So they get out there far enough away they can't see land anywhere. And the pilot comes on and says, I don't want to alarm you, but we've lost power in one of our engines. However, we are long ways from our destination, but we're going to try to bring this to a safe landing. Would you have any anxieties? He said, I don't want to alarm you, but... And you can kind of notice slowing down and a dropping somewhat in your elevation. But you're going along, and the panic feeling kind of lifts. Maybe there's a hope. We may make it with. But after a while, the captain comes on and says, going to inform you that we've lost power in our second engine. Would you be a little more concerned? And they can feel a lessening of power, a further dropping in elevation. Could it be that way with faith? Every time the enemy would succeed in getting you to doubt or lose a little faith, could you lose some power? Could you lose some spiritual elevation? The poet wrote, "My cry shall be till time shall cease. O blessed Lord, my faith increase." So, it is critical to have faith in God and to have it fixed so definite and clearly and confidently that nothing shakes it, weakens it. There are some examples in the Word of God, and it doesn't mean if you have strong faith and fixed faith that you won't be tested, because God permits His children to have their faith tested, and sometimes to the very, very pressure experiences. If you will, turn to the first chapter of Job. Job is noted for his patience. But I say Job had a fixed faith. And there in the first chapter, little background, Job was a very prosperous individual. He had financial assets. He had 10 children, wife, servants, honor, respect. At God let an avalanche of trouble hit him. And it tells about some of his accumulations. It says, we'll just start there at the first. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters." Then it goes on to list his assets. "His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." This man had reached a pinnacle of being considered the greatest man in the East. He prospered. And God unbeknownst to Job and the old devil, had a conversation. And God permitted the enemy to bring some avalanche of trouble to Job. You may consider yourself to have a bad day or bad days, but I don't think any of us has had a day like Job had. Where back-to-back assets was peeled away from him, and at the end of the day, if they recovered the bodies of the 10 children, 10 family members out into eternity. Anyone in here had a bad day like that? So, Job, how do you take this? What's your reaction to all of this that's happened to you? Do you lose faith in God? And there was more to come. Another conversation. And this time the enemy was permitted to touch Job's body. But he was put at limits. You can touch his body, but you can't take his life. Remember, when things come your way, God can put a stop. And the enemy can't go beyond that. Well, the enemy thought, I'll affect his skin. I'll put boils on him from up here to the crack, from a crown. No, they started with the feet. The devil works underneath. Started with his feet and come up to his head with boils. Job, when he wanted to lay down, he had to lay down on a boil. If he wanted to comb his hair, there was boils up there. They probably ran. Smelled bad. If he wanted to walk, he had to walk on boils. Any position he took, there was boils. And it got to his wife. The losses of the children, the losses of the assets. She didn't speak out anything. But there come a time when maybe she looked him right in the eyes, when she should have said, honey, I believe in your God. I believe in you. Don't fail God. I don't know the outcome, but I'm behind you. Shouldn't that have been what she said? Something like that. Show of support. I believe in God, and I believe in you. And don't fail God. Hold to your integrity. But she didn't do that, did she? Do you still hold to your integrity, husband? Why don't you just curse God and die? Curse him and do away with yourself. But his integrity remained. His faith remained fixed in God. And he did not curse God or take his life. He had a fixed faith in God. that lifted him up above the grief of losing 10 children, the thought of losing all of his assets and servants, different servants. They were killed. And his wife turning against him with such a suggestion. But his faith was fixed in something greater than his assets. Something greater than his children. Something greater than his wife. His faith was fixed in the God that created him and gave him life and breath. And it paid off. If you'll turn to the last chapter of Job, it tells. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And there's some listing in some of the rest of the verse about all that he had, and he had 10 more children. The daughters were the fairest. And if you like happy endings, this is a happy ending. And he lived a number of more years to enjoy. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his daughters, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. But he had some of the most perplexing difficulties and trials of faith that I've heard or read about. But his faith remained unshaken in God, fixed in God. There's other examples. One more I'm going to mention that's recorded in the Word of God is Caleb. Caleb had a wonderful spirit in him. And he was one of the men that was dispatched out of 12 men to go over and view Canaan land, the land of promise. And they went. And they went in different areas of Canaan. And they saw different things. Some negative, some positive, as they spied the land. They were gone for 40 days, and they were able to get into certain key places of Canaan to see what was over there. That was what they were. They were sent for that very purpose. To spy out and to see what's it like. So all 12 of them come back with their report. And in Numbers, the 13th chapter, they were given opportunity. And can you even fathom what the congregation that had been waiting? Not one day, not a week, not a month, but 40 days to hear what these men were going to come back and tell them. Were they excited? We're going to finally get to hear what it's like over there. How would you feel if you had traveled wandering in and going and finally getting close to where your future home was to be? Would you be excited? Would you wonder, what are they going to tell us? What's it like over there? And when they got back, Well, they had some great big old grapes on a pole. Now, I've lived in California and visited California, and they have grapes. But I sure never seen any bigger than maybe the bottom of this thing. And they had such big grapes, and they had a report to give. And it says, and they returned, the 29th verse, from searching the land after 40 days. And they were, some of them, 10 of them, very negative. In that next verse, the 26th verse, it said something about, surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But here, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. And so they go on with their gloomy, doomy report. But the 30th verse. And if you can imagine a whole congregation, there's a good amount of people here today, but this isn't a drop in the bucket of what that congregation was. If you can imagine the people hearing this about the children of Anak and about what they had heard. If you ever been in a crowd where people hear something and they start a kind of a rumble, mumble, well, anyway, whatever they were shouting or saying or doing, it was out of control. Brother Curtis Williamson was telling about a thing after Katrina. He was a National Guard on duty at that convention place. And they were without food. And the people there was restless, and they were going to maybe have a riot. And the National Guards had been prepped what to do if the riot erupted. No food, away from their homes, and they were upset. But a woman come up and wanted the microphone, and she sang, and she sang, and she sang, and the crowd relaxed. And after she got through singing, they were looking for their beds. No riot. However, Caleb stilled these people in a very emotional, here you're telling us after we've traveled all this way, and now you're telling us about the negative things of Canaan. And they got upset. And he had to steal the people. He had to calm them down. However he did it, he had to calm them down. And the 30th verse, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Now, they saw the negative thing. Caleb saw negative stuff. But his faith was fixed in the God who had promised what he promised. Amen? His faith was fixed not on sight, what I see over there, but on the promise that God was going to give us this home. His face was fixed. And you know, as a result, he died in Canaan land, and the 10 spies that brought the gloomy, doomy report died in the wilderness. See the difference in faith and not having it? And when these people heard all this, they just lifted up their voice and they wept and they complained against Moses and they complained against God. Always the wrong thing to do, to complain against God and to complain against a leader. But they did. But Caleb's faith was fixed in the God that had given the promise that this land is yours. You can overcome it. You don't have to be defeated. And at 85 years old, he was still ready to take on the giants. He said, "Give me this mountain." Faith. Oh, it is so critical that we have faith in God. There have been others who have had faith. Read about Sister Faith Stewart. She was a missionary in Havana, Cuba, at a place, an orphanage, or a home for children. They had a drought, and they had run out of water. It wasn't just the home affected, it was an area that was affected. They had the government come on the property and go down into the depth of the earth, and there was no water. No water. They had no water for laundry, no water for baths, no water for cooking, no water for cleaning. And I think before it went totally out, the water was not clear. Desperate. But she had faith. And her and some of the workers, they had prayed about the situation. But after the report that the government gave, no water in the earth, no water in this ground, they got desperate. They went down before God. God was their hope, or their help. And they went out in prayer. It was serious time. There was needs, great needs, for water. And as they were in this time of prayer, they heard somebody say loudly, "Water! Clear water!" And they checked it out. And it was reality. It was water. God had answered some people's prayers. She's not the only one. Brother Michael Smith, passion for Africa. One of his times visiting there, he was bit by an infectious mosquito. Made it back home. Was at the door of death, probably. But his faith was fixed in God. And God brought him out of that. I don't know. I won't say the outcome of Sister Sarita Phillips. I don't know what all might take place. I don't know if anyone has an inspiration that she'll be healed. But let me tell you this about her. I was in California in the congregation there where she attended. And one Sunday morning, I think maybe she had her cane, but anyway, she made it up to the podium, to behind the pulpit, and she sang a solo. The title of it was, I Love You Too Much to Turn Back Now. Too much to break my vow. I got to make it to heaven somehow. And I love you too much to turn back now. In one of those verses, I remember a hand up in the air. Fixed faith. Live, die. My faith is fixed. Remember hearing a testimony on an iPod that somebody gave me, Brother Curtis Williams, when he was so low sick. Whatever was happening, he was in physical trouble. One night the enemy was giving him a hard time. In the night. Couldn't sleep, or he wasn't asleep. But he had a clock that shone on the ceiling. And the time was 2:23. And his mind went to, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight a faith. When earth is done, I'll never more turn back. Defeat shall not know, for God will give me victory. Onward I shall go. I'm going on. I'm going on until the final triumph. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on until the final triumph. I'm going on. You know, God blessed him that night. That was his decision. And God brought him out. Sometimes people's faith has not wavered. Isaiah, Brother Ed just recently told how he was put in a log and sawed in two. There were martyrs for their faith. They were thrown to wild animals. Died with faith. Faith of our fathers is a song. But their faith was fixed so strong that even stood in the face of being hurled to lions to devour their body. That's a strong faith. That's a faith that's fixed. I never knew Rachel Scott. I've heard of her. She was a student at Columbine High School in Colorado. I don't know all about her, everything I've heard about her. But there was some men who had been, or boys, or had been bullied. And they come And they took the life of Rachel Scott. But she boldly would not declare or deny that there was a God. A fixed faith. Your faith can be very, very tested. But may God bless that after and during the test, it'll be fixed and anchored in God. And it won't waver, even if death, even with death. I have a book that used to be Sister Dorothy Kaiser and Sister Janice Porter got the book, and its title is Strong Faith. In this book, it tells about 40 men who were soldiers in Emperor Nero's era of time. Nero was a mean, brutal man. He didn't want his soldiers to have faith in God, be believers. The word was sent to this individual that asked all those who were believers or however, and there were 40 of them, 40 soldiers that were. Well, this man that asked them the question gave them a period of time, and then they were brought back and they were told about denying. If they didn't deny, or they had a hard winter, and they were close to a body of water, and they were going to be stripped, and they were going to have to be out there on that ice. Freeze to death. These men had been wrestlers, and they wrestled for the king. When the opportunity was given them again to do away with their faith and belief, 40 of them stood solid. And so the man in charge let them know the consequences. But if they would have second thoughts, and I'm using some of my words, that there would be a fire waiting for them. They were stripped and they went out on this icy waters. I don't think I would have lasted, but through the night, they would have this chant. 40 men wrestling for thee, O Christ, or something about victory. But as the night wore on, the volume lowered. His death was coming. As the man in charge looked, he saw one coming back. Very extremely severely affected by what he had been through. But the men out there said 39. There was still 39 of them. The man who was in charge, he laid down his sword or whatever and took off his whatever he had on his head. And he went out and joined the 39. And they all froze to death. But their faith was fixed in God. Not in deliverance. Not going back to the fire and being warm and denying my faith in God. But I'll die before I give up my faith. And they did. They died. May God help me. I'm 77 years old. In the last stage of my life, I thank God for the faith that I have today. I haven't always valued faith like I do, but I'm thankful that I have faith in God today. If you have faith in God today, you are a blessed person. You are very blessed. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to lose any. It weakens you. Hold on to it. Value it. It is so valuable, faith is. For everything of life. For spiritual things. For our physical things. Financial things. Faith is needed today. It's at a low ebb, yes. But may I urge you, retain faith in God. May it be fixed, settled for time and eternity.